This is the special meeting of the Personnel Committee of May 11th, 2021. We will start this off with comments from the public. Any comments not related to the subjects at hand?
We don't have any hands raised or any chats, but I did want to mention that it's just Director Jenko today. Director, maybe it won't be joining us for this meeting.
Everybody's on vacation except for me.
Me, I'm not on vacation either.
I don't get it.
I don't get it.
Okay, so let's move on to review the recommended changes with the Finance Division retitle and reclassification of job specifications. No. That's a lengthy subject.
Yeah. So this memo has my name on it, but Randy, this is Tom Hennig. This memo has my name on it, but I'm going to let Paula O'Keefe, the Director of Administration, kind of go through the details. But I want to introduce this as when I was interviewing Paula and for this position of Director of Admin, I wanted her focus to quickly go to the accounting department and look at doing some reclassifications of jobs or changing the job specs. We've had the accounting supervisor open for recruitment for probably about 5 months now. And the controller position legitimately has been open for well over a year and a half. Cindy Chow came in and did a great job, but she found, she found a place where she could take her child to work in a daycare situation. And so the controller and the accounting supervisor positions are really, really critical to the financial stability of the district, and having those positions vacant for so long was important to me to address. At one point in time, we had made a job offer to somebody who we thought would have been great as the accounting supervisor, but we weren't even, we were $10,000 or $15,000 a pay cut for her to come work for us. And it wouldn't work in her life. And, we got very, very few applicants, and it's just, we're not within the market. And so I've asked Paula to do the work that she's going to go through with you right now. And I'm going to turn it over to her.
Thank you, Tom. So just kind of go over what we're looking at doing. Tom gave a great background of the agreement that we're in. With high turnover location, we have a very tight job market, meaning people aren't leaving because there's stability in the market right now. A lot of employers.
Paula, we
cannot. Yeah, I'm doing it.
There you go. Paula, we cannot hear you.
You can't hear me? Can you hear me?
Can you hear it at all, Tom? Can you hear me?
It was real garbled. Now I can hear you.
Very good.
Okay.
Much better.
Okay, sorry. I'll start over. So again, Tom did a great rundown of the predicament that we're in. Basically, the situation right now is that we are a rural location. We have outdated job specs. We have a tight job market, meaning staff are not willing to take the risk to go to another agency. Pay is involved. We have, and we've been plagued with high turnover and then lack of qualified applicants due to our outdated job descriptions. So one of the things that I took a look at is the job descriptions for the controller and the accounting supervisor. And it's presented itself as a top heavy accounting department when we really need to be looking at succession planning. And so after tackling the, after looking at the job descriptions for those two positions, I started looking at the job descriptions for the office assistant and the accounting assistant. And I'm not sure when the last time that those had been updated, but they really weren't representative of the actual duties that staff are currently performing. So one of the things that I wanted to do is take a look at where they fare within the current job market and current job descriptions put out by other agencies and other special districts. So in this particular staff report, it talks about the positions, and what I found looking through all of the job descriptions and kind of what's contributed to our recruitment problem. So we'll start first with the office assistant. We have the attachments, correct?
They're right here.
Okay, so.
There's your memo, here's the office
technician. So what we'd like to do, what we've proposed, is changing the title of office assistant 1 and 2 and combining it into a single office technician position. And then using the office assistant 2 pay range to be that pay grade for that position. Basically, the duties that are included here are more defined based on conversations that I've had with staff and what they're currently working on. And they're in line with other existing office technician positions found in other districts and agencies. I spent a time looking at different classifications, and I think this one fits best for this type of position at the front desk. And it really gives us the ability to monitor and evaluate staff in a more robust way. One of the things that the office assistant position had was kitchen duties. And so, you know, I like to say that, you know, it's great to have somebody have that role, but, you know, you really can't evaluate an employee based on how well they load or unload the dishwasher. So I wanted to professionalize the job descriptions that are more in line with, you know, today's standards and best practices, as well as comparative with other agencies. So the office technician, the education and experience is consistent with what we were currently using for the office assistant 1 and 2. And this will not impact the current employee that is in there. In fact, if anything, it really bolsters what she's currently been doing and gives her the ability to take ownership of that role. The second one is the accounting assistant. And this position is the key entry-level position for our accounting series.
Okay, there's the red line version of the accounting tech.
Oh, yes.
I mean, the office tech. Here we go.
So this one as well, basically I met with staff and spent quite a bit of time with her talking about what she's currently working on, and then took a look at the job specifications. And, you know, she's doing a significantly more, a heavier workload and has more roles and responsibilities than was initially described in the job descriptions. I know that ambiguity works well in certain areas, but in others, you know, we run into issues where if it's not in the job description or it's not clearly defined, then staff may not be aware that that's a task that they should be doing, you know. And again, it goes back to the evaluation process. We want to make sure that staff are clear in what they're working on and what needs to be done at their level, and we're able to evaluate them appropriately. So again, with this position, I looked at the same agencies that I did for the office technician position and kind of used some of the existing job descriptions and then added a few in and then defined a little bit better what the employee is actually working on. Education and experience, again, does not impact the current employee and is consistent with other agencies and what their minimum qualifications requirements are for education and experience as well. Oh, and also to go over the pay for this position, the position is currently an accounting assistant 1 and 2. And the same methodology applied as the office technician is that we're moving towards the accounting technician and using the accounting assistant 2 range of pay for this singular position.
And here's the red line version.
Yes. Does anybody have any questions on these two so far?
I don't have any hands raised or any chats.
Okay. So moving on to the accountant. So this really falls in line with succession planning. So ideally in an organization, you want to have succession planning. You give someone a place to promote to, something to learn. They, staff want that professional development and growth. And because we are such a small agency, there's really a huge gap between an accounting assistant and an accounting supervisor. And there's a huge learning curve that goes along with that. And in order for someone to make that transition from the what we would now call the accounting technician to the accounting managers, where I'll be headed shortly, we need that in between. We need that person that's going to have the education and experience and understanding of what accounting practices are in order to reach that supervisory level position. So right now we currently don't have that. And because our job descriptions are in some ways the controller and the accounting supervisor are redundant, we need to break that out for the succession planning and give staff a pathway for growth. So what I did is I took the accounting supervisor position and downgraded that to an accountant. And this position, using the same six agencies that I reviewed for the accountant and the accounting tech and the office tech, I pulled all of the job descriptions, the pay grades, took a look at everything that needs to be done here, made sure that it's consistent and in line with our day-to-day operations. And then it also provides that pathway for growth. And so this person would be the in-between the accounting tech and the accounting manager position, which is formerly the controller. So this particular position has the, can you scroll down to the, yes. Okay, so there are specific requirements for this position. So we do need someone that has governmental accounting. I think one of the things that the auditor will probably bring up is that we need to move towards a fund accounting, which is a governmental accounting structure. And when we bring on an accountant and the future accounting manager, they need to have governmental accounting experience. And this is one of the requirements that we need to have in order to receive qualified applicants. We're also requiring a four-year degree. Sorry, thank you.
Big job.
Yeah, it's a big job. And then at least 3 years of governmental accounting and record keeping activities. And really what this position does is this position is the checks and balance for the accounting technician. So the accounting technician will prepare all of the documents and then the accountant will review and post. So for example, you'll have the account technician will process all of the payroll and then the accountant will review everything, do an audit on it to make sure that everything is correct. All of the proper payments have been made. We've applied, you know, additional pays or overtime correctly, and everyone has the correct pay amount. And so they will review and approve. It's the kind of the second level of review so that we maintain internal controls within the agency. This is also something else that I believe our auditor will be speaking to the finance committee as well. So we want to address that with these positions also. So the pay here is, is it included?
No.
Okay.
Not in these documents.
Okay.
So I don't know if we were going to go with the accounting supervisor pay scale.
That pay scale is actually going to be lower based on the accountant positions. We're looking at reducing the pay, to kind of offset the increase in pay for the accounting. These positions are right in line with the salary surveys that were done both back in June and the ones that I conducted myself over the last couple of weeks to make sure that we're competitive within the job market and we're going to be bringing in the qualified staff. So the to give you an example, we have the average step E for the six agencies that I surveyed is $70,773. So what we're proposing for the top step for this particular position for the accountant would be the control point would actually be $69,321. So it's right in line with existing agencies. It gives us a little bit more of a competitive edge because we are rural. And we are not expecting any education or experience requirements that are outside what other agencies and districts are offering or requesting as well. So moving on to the accounting manager. So this used to be the controller position. One of the things that we had some issues with the controller position in the sense that when you advertise with governmental agencies like governmentjobs.com or CSMFO or GFOA, and you advertise a controller, a lot of times qualified staff will look at that title itself and think, oh, well, I don't know what a controller does, so I'm not qualified for that, so I'm not going to apply. And so what ends up happening is you have a lot of private industry people who do know what a controller does and are interested in applying for the position, but they don't have the skills and experience that we need as a special district. Controller is typically used for a private industry, but here they would be doing governmental accounting work. And so to keep in line with the succession planning, an appropriate job title for the district, something that would reach more qualified applicants than a controller would, we're looking to rename this as the accounting manager and increase the salary to make it commensurate with other agencies and districts, and that will allow us to be more competitive. Basically, this person is going to oversee all of the accounting and budgeting operations and make sure that everything is flowing smoothly, manage all of the supervisory functions at that level. They're going to oversee the workflows, making sure that we're doing our audit correctly. They're going to be providing reports, managing the CFDs, the developer deposits. They're going to be doing the high level, most complex workload that the district has. And also one of the things that this position will do is they'll be maintaining the ERP system, which is our financial systems. And so they're going to be the person that's going to be managing our chart of accounts, managing our trial balance, making sure that, you know, we're spending our money appropriately, we're making the bank transfers, we're doing the bank reconciliations. That's what this position does. This is similar to what the controller position did, but keeping in line with what district and governmental agencies are doing, there's a lot of other functions that this person should be doing. So this is somewhat of a morph between the accounting supervisor and the controller, but realigning it with what an appropriate job duty would be for an accounting manager. One of the things that was removed from the accounting supervisor and the controller positions was the HR component. You know, obviously having a human resources background is never a requirement for an accountant or an accounting supervisor or an accounting manager or controller, and is not the appropriate location for those job duties. So those have been removed and will be managed by other staff elsewhere. This position has specific qualification requirements. Again, debt financing, public fund investing. We need someone to understand all of the governmental fund accounting and be able to manage and maintain it. They will need to be working with our auditors and be able to respond to audit findings and provide suggestions and direction to staff on how to implement, you know, any kind of internal controls issues, anything like that. So, as well as have that supervisory piece. So again, in looking at all of the positions, the same agencies that I pulled from the other positions, you know, our education and experience requirements are consistent in line with other agencies. We need someone with a CPA and at least 3 years of administrative and supervisory responsibility. One of the accountant supervisor only had an associate's degree requirement, and the controller only had a bachelor's degree requirement. And if we want to do things right, be competitive within the job market, and draw qualified candidates, we need to have the right certifications, the right education, and the right experience so that we get someone in who knows what they're doing, knows what needs to be done, and can carry it out and manage the day-to-day operations along with that.
Hey, Paula, this is Tom. Can I interrupt for a minute?
Absolutely.
Now, I know I've reviewed these and approved them and all that, but I'm looking at the CPA requirement.
Yes.
And I'm trying to think, can we make this highly desirable? Or are you dead set on it really has to be a CPA? Because it's hard to find CPAs out there. And I
feel like every single accounting manager position I pulled had that requirement. We could certainly state, within 18 months of being hired so that we know that they're on track to gain their CPA. It would obviously put the district, would need to, pay for that licensing once they take the exam. But I think that it's key to bringing on the right person.
Okay.
What is the accountant position? The top rung was 70,000. What's the salary range here? Are you going to attract someone with a CPA?
Yes, we will. So in the six agencies that I surveyed, their top salary for an accounting manager was $126,577. So that would put them at a control point of 116. Some were slightly higher than the 126, some were slightly lower, but that was the midpoint. So for this particular position, we have it at, let me look at my stuff. So we're looking at top step of 135 with the control point coming in at 122,846. So at the control point, if we hire an accountant and accounting manager, it's only an increase of $9,600 for the next fiscal year. And that's if we bring them in at control point. If we bring them in anything higher than that, I calculated it out at the top step, that would just be an additional 11,000.
Thank you. So, mm-hmm. So you're confident that salary range will attract the experience and education that you've put in here?
Yeah, I believe so. If you, to give you an example, if you do a search on governmentjobs.com and you do a statewide California search just for an accounting manager, you'll probably see at least 30 to 35 postings. And every single one of them has a higher salary range, the CPA requirement, years of experience, as well as the supervisory experience. And they're very detailed in what that type of position entails. And, I feel like looking at the controller position, there was some ambiguity in there, but there was also some things missing as well as the requirements. And so what tends to happen is you see people looking at a controller and not thinking that's a new step up in my career. That's something that I'm probably not qualified for, or the job specs didn't give them enough. They didn't give them enough drive to want to apply for that. You want to give someone the opportunity to showcase their skills and then also learn some new things as well.
Can I go back and clarify one point, please?
Yes.
Are we going to change the requirement to about being a CPA? Are we going to, Randy, do you want us to make that within 18 months of hire, or do you want me to leave it that it's required upon hire?
I would recommend we leave it as is. Paula did a good case.
I think Paula explained that pretty well. Okay. That we should leave it as is if we're going to be competing against other people are doing similar. Paula, could you, as you went through that, you talked about upgrading, downgrading, salaries going up and salaries going down. Yeah. Could you just kind of give us an overall over the top look at what this is doing to us as far as competitiveness? And how much it's going to cost overall?
So overall, the overall cost with all four positions at the control point, which is, now keep in mind that we have two existing employees in the office tech and the accounting tech positions, and I may not be speaking specifically to their salaries, but at all four, if we have them on at the control point, it's only a $10,000 a year annual increase. So it's really minimal. It has a minimal impact on the salaries for the district. I'm sorry. And then what was your first question? As far as competitiveness?
Competitiveness. We're lowering some, but we're raising some. I assume the accounting manager's salary range is going up because we're going on 5 months without an accounting manager. And then accounting technician went down, as I recall. Just a summary of.
So the summary of the salaries is that the office assistants are being morphed into one salary range, which has minimal impact on our budget, as well as the accounting assistant positions. Those are existing salary ranges, so we're not changing anything with those. If there are annual increases, it will be due to the evaluations, or if we were to hire new staff and bring them on board at a different salary range, there could be a decrease or an increase depending on that. With the accountant position, the accounting supervisor position at the control point was $85,000. So for us, we're downgrading the accounting supervisor to an accountant position, which would reduce that salary at the control point to $69,000. So we're saving some money at that level. With the controller at the control point, it was $98,000. And with the accounting manager, it's going to jump up to $122,000. So really we're adding, again, we're only adding overall $10,000 to the annual budget. And that's if we hire someone at the control point. You know, obviously we have the ability to hire them at less.
Great, great explanation. I have one final question. So we're talking about duties, and we've taken all of the HR duties out of these descriptions for the accounting people, assuming that those responsibilities then end up director of administration and general manager, do we need to look at those job descriptions and add something, or is that already in there?
Randy, this is Tom. Earlier this year, or late last year, we commissioned a salary survey for the unrep and positions. And normally I would have brought this to the board in February, but given just workload and everything else, it just didn't happen. So at some point in the near future, we'll bring that salary survey done by Coffin Associates to the board. And at that point in time, we'll address the salaries for the unrep positions from top to bottom. Does that answer your question? No, sorry.
No, the question had to do with the HR responsibilities that are being deleted from the accounting positions, and assuming that those are going to the directors and the director and the general manager, is that in those job descriptions? Is it adequately explained? The HR duties, or does that need to be looked at?
Those do fall on the director of admin and the general manager. As far as if they're explicitly stated as what that entails, no, but they are encompassed in those job duties. We could certainly take a look at those job descriptions and include the information needed to clearly identify what that role is.
And this is Tom again. The reality is, whenever we get into a serious HR issue, we deal with DSRMA, our risk management company. We also deal with our attorney, in this case, Dick Shanahan. So as soon as an HR issue starts to become more relevant versus just annual evaluations and stuff, we upped the ante to our attorneys.
Yeah, no, I get that. And that's the practical reality. I'm just asking about the, about our policies and descriptions of tasks and whatnot.
Right. So the with the accounting manager position, there's, it's identified that they manage personnel, but that's specific to their own personnel. It's not district-wide. The accounting supervisor's role had a district-wide HR component, which was not appropriate for that level. You know, that needs to be, especially when you're dealing with risk management, workers' compensation, you know, employee health related issues for FMLA, that needs to be at the managerial level, and disciplinary issues as well. You know, that needs to be escalated to the director and the general manager position. So I think that's been clearly identified with the accounting manager position. And I think if we take a look at the other supervisory positions, I'm sure that it will be clearly outlined in that manner as well.
Great. Amelia, any hands up?
I do have a chat from Richard Gears. Where do the HR duties end up? Richard, have we discussed that in enough detail for you?
Yes, I think so. Yeah, it seems like there still is a little of a gap there, though, but I have no experience in that area, so you can ignore my concern.
Yeah, what do you mean by gap?
It seems like, you know, overall across the organization, there is some need for human resource expertise, and, you know, and I don't know where it is.
It currently sorry, Richard, this is Paula O'Keefe. It currently resides with myself and with Tom Henning.
Okay. Well, I guess that answers my question then. Okay. Thank you.
Anything else, Amelia?
No, that's all.
Okay. I think my only comment is I think this is very well done. You've obviously spent a lot of time and done some research, and I'm hoping that this helps us out in attracting the people that that we need. So great job.
Thank you.
Let's move on to review the updating Director of Field Operations job specifications, including updated certifications and regulatory requirements.
And before we move on, sir, you recommend this going to the board next week?
I do. And oh, so perfect. So would Tim if he wasn't sitting on a beach somewhere drinking a daiquiri right now.
We're going to back up just a little bit and look at the organizational chart. So this is how the accounting section would break down. With Paula, I'll let you talk about it.
Okay, so this would be what the new org structure would look like under the administration section. We would have the accounting manager who would oversee the office accounting and accountant, and then any part-time contractual employees and interns.
Moving on to the Director of Field Operations job specification.
So with this particular job duty, we took a look at, and Paul actually assisted with this. Before he left, he was willing to sit down and take a look at what the job description currently entailed and outlined some corrections that he felt were necessary or were out of date and needed to be removed. And I took a look at several other districts and pulled a bunch of other job specs as they related to operations and maintenance for water districts. And so between the two of us, we came up with these roles and responsibilities, and we morphed some of what was in other districts into what we currently have. So some of these will be stating similar of what the prior job description was, but it includes additional information to kind of clearly define what that role is at that level. And then we also updated the requirements for the education and certification requirements. There is currently a requirement for a grade four? Uh-huh. So we had it listed as a grade three, and it should be a grade four wastewater plant operator certificate. And we kept it at within 18 months of entering this position is required. However, we currently do not have anyone with that certification. So it would be optimal if we could find someone who has that when we do our recruiting for this position. One of the things is the experience in education. A lot of other districts are looking at having the professional engineer registration with the state of California. It's not a requirement, but every agency or every district that I looked at, this is one of their highly desirable things. And you know what that means for the district is that you have a professional engineer coming in and is able to really evaluate what our contractors are doing and be that second set of eyes to sign off on projects and be able to point out where, you know, corrections need to be made, be able to identify potential issues and really have the knowledge and understanding for looking at projects. And then we also increased the experience to 8 years with 4 years of supervisory and management capacity. That's highly appropriate for a director position. You definitely want to have someone who has extensive experience, especially with our district. We're a very special district in the sense that we have a lot of different things that most water districts or other districts have. And so there's a lot of workload that's associated with that. And we want someone to be able to come in and have that administration experience and be able to come in, fill the position, and be able to lead the operations side of the house.
Is the change in the experience years, was that a recommendation by Paul, or was that something that you saw in your surveys of other districts?
That was mine, and that was found in the surveys of other districts.
Okay.
And at this point, we have not addressed, as Tom stated earlier, we were planning on bringing a salary survey. So we have not addressed the salary component to this. This is really just a discussion on the job descriptions and the updated certification requirements.
The salary range remains the same, and we're confident that will attract some good people?
At this time, it remains the same. I would hope that we would attract people, the qualified candidates. The salary that I just kind of glanced at, I didn't do a full survey of the salaries. They're pretty in line with what we're currently offering. I do know that we did have a salary survey done back in June that spoke to that particular position, but at this time we're not recommending any changes to the salaries.
Okay. And what is that salary?
Randy, that position tops at about 147.
147 for a PE. Yeah. Well, I don't know what we can do about it, but I think we're going to, as someone gets about 10 years of experience, as in what happened with Paul, people aren't going to be satisfied with that top end salary, but I don't know what to do about that. I know what I pay PEs, and I'm like I say, I don't know what to do about it. It's probably the right place to start to attract someone?
You know, we'll find out. We haven't recruited that position, of course, in 15 years. In speaking with another consultant who we used a while ago on the the groundwater issues, Kevin Kaufman, he felt like we might be a little bit below market, and I think their salary survey will demonstrate that. But at this point in time, I want to go with what we have, unless you think we need to address this salary right now and then deal with the rest of the unrep salaries in a month or two.
No,
that's your expertise.
In fact, I'm sorry I brought it up. I was just thinking out loud, and I think the proper way to proceed is to go with what you've got and see where it leads us.
Okay, I'm going to agree with you there.
Anything else, Paula, on this item?
So I did look up a couple of the job specs that I pulled with the salary ranges, and obviously I didn't spend a ton of time doing analysis on it, but just the two that I pulled, that 147 top out is right at the mid-range between the positions that I pulled. So I think we'll be okay with getting candidates. And, you know, as Tom stated, we do have the salary survey that we'll be discussing at a later date. So if we do run across any concerns or issues getting qualified candidates, you know, we can certainly address the salary at that point.
Good. Amelia, any hands or?
No. No hands or chats.
All right. Very good. Which leads us to directors and staff comments.
So then you recommend this going to the board for approval.
Tim and I are unanimous on this one.
Thank you.
And where's my waitress? Directors and staff comments. Staff, any comments or suggestions?
I'm good. Good job, Paula. I want to thank you for getting at that so quickly.
Thank you.
I have the exact same comment. I'm very impressed by the work what's been done here. I know I couldn't do it, and I had a tough enough time just reading through all of it, but very good job, Paula. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Which leads us to adjournment. So thank everyone for attending this morning, and have a great day.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. Have a good day.